D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie, Donick, Adam, Finnegan, David, Janes here with you. Derek Mason will join Jake Lyman again today on Stillman & Company. We will be reunited next week. I've missed Derek.
Yeah.
It's odd not having him here. It makes me sad.
Well, and next Monday when we're back together, he will be a Hall of Famer.
He will be a Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer. He will be inducted into said Hall of Fame tomorrow. And we will pay tribute to our good friend, Derek Mason, later in the program. I'm battling a cold today. I'm afraid I'm going to sound like Jared's terrible impression of me for the next 3 hours. Have you heard Jared's terrible impression of me?
I haven't. I did hear Joe Rex Rhodes' impression of Paul Kuharsky, kind of the extreme, and the John Glennon, which is pretty good.
I made the mistake when I first met John Glennon more than 10 years ago of telling him he sounded like Jim Varney, a.k.a. Ernest. And I don't know if he's ever let that go.
He hasn't let it go?
I don't know. If Gina's listening, you let me know, friend.
I don't know if I would ever let that go either, to be fair.
But when I first met him, we were both working at the Tennessean. I said, has anybody ever told you you sound like Jim Varney? I don't know if that went over well. But he's still my friend, so that's okay.
But he has a voodoo doll of you somewhere.
That may explain the cult. But Jared's impression of me is of a stereotypical nerd in an 80s movie. According to my calculations.
Yeah, I have heard him
do
that. Yes,
basically. So, I'm not a great impressionist, so I don't have a Jared impression. Maybe I will form one, but I am afraid that I am going to sound like Jared's terrible impression of me for the next 3 hours. Josh on our text line says, cold in the summer? I felt the same way. I don't know how I have a cold in the summer.
It's shocking.
Yes, but I will survive.
It does happen, though. It does happen.
I will power through for all of you on this Friday. But because of the cold, Willie, I had a hard time sleeping last night. So I spent a lot of time scrolling through social media looking at all of the Coldplay concert memes. We discussed this at the end of yesterday's show.
So that's how you were playing while you had a cold? You were cold playing?
Ha! I didn't even realize that. That's a good one, my friend. But a lot of great memes, in case you missed it.
Oh, the memes are, like, the moment is a viral moment. There's no question about it, but the memes are even better.
Absolutely. And in case you missed it, apparently the CEO of a company called Astronomer was outed for having an affair with his HR chief. Talk about complicated. At a Coldplay concert in Boston. It was at Gillette Stadium. I learned this after the show yesterday. And it's led to a ton of hilarious memes on social media. Willie, I never thought anything would be more cringeworthy than someone being proposed to at a sporting event.
Right.
But then I saw somebody apparently being outed for having an affair at a concert. And I think that may take the cake.
It might take the cake. And on top of it, he wrote a statement, right? He put the statement out.
Now, to be fair,
is that for real?
That was a fake statement.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, that wasn't real.
I was going to say, I wanted to check before I took the bait. I was like, please tell me this is not real.
That statement did get around social media.
Okay,
but
because
I believe
it's just for at least the first 75% believable. And then at the end, you're like, wait a minute.
If I recall correctly.
You put the lyrics to a song at the very end?
If I recall correctly, I don't know if this was real or not. David, correct me if it's not. But I believe at some point the wife of the gentleman who was caught having an affair removed his last name from her Facebook account. And that went viral.
Ouch.
That I don't know if that's true or not.
But this is fascinating. As I said, I did not think there would be anything more cringeworthy than being proposed to at a sporting event. there is one specific instance I recall. Several years ago, a gentleman proposed to his girlfriend at a Houston Rockets game, and she said no and walked off the court, and the mascot who was standing there to perhaps greet the couple.
Congratulate them.
The mascot just kind of looked around like, what do I do now?
And so we think that that was not a stage thing.
It might have been. That's the problem. I can't tell the difference between something staged and something real.
I would like to think I have a keen eye for things that are staged, things that are not, but because I've seen a lot. So that could have gone. I haven't seen that one. But yes, the cringeworthy.
I will find it.
The cringeworthiness meter on this one at the Coldplay. And it's so funny that Coldplay is coming here, right?
Next week, Nissan Stadium.
Nissan Stadium. I've seen Coldplay twice, at least twice, two or three, twice, but never at a stadium.
Next Tuesday, July 22nd, Coldplay at Nissan Stadium.
I'm a big connoisseur of Coldplay.
As I said yesterday, if you are listening to this and you are having an affair and you think you want to take your side piece to this Coldplay concert, think again. I'm just
a side piece.
You've been warned. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If don't you do it. Go if you be outed, either way, that works.
You really have a blind spot if you get caught at this one.
Or
I'm curious about the meme factor though. The signs.
Yes.
Like, what are people going to do? Like, you know that there's some people looking to get attention that will cook something up.
If Coldplay is smart, they will make an event out of that viral moment, and they will do it at every concert. The affair cam at the Coldplay concert.
What song were they playing when this happened? Did we know?
That's a good idea.
Lights? I mean, because the funny mock statement had the lyrics from Lights.
I don't know. I don't think they were playing a song at that moment.
Oh, they weren't.
I think it was just like the part where they're like, they just ended the song and they're now going. They're trying to transition.
Okay.
I think that's when it happened. Hmm. And they're just like, oh, look at this couple. They're all together. And it's like, oh, never mind. They're not a happy couple.
No. That has to be the worst way to be outed for.
But what are a couple of the memes like? There's like people holding signs like a poor person on the. It's all a gag or whatever. Like I didn't get caught.
I am a big fan of The Sopranos. It's my favorite television show, along with The Simpsons. Two very different television shows. A lot of Tony Soprano with his many mistresses. I saw a lot of those memes last night. That made me laugh. Wes in Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, at least if you are with your side piece, just don't be wrapped up hugging them, LOL. I did recall a local news story from within the past few years when Taylor Swift was touring, and they interviewed a person who was wearing basically a towel over their head with sunglasses keeping the towel on their head. And the Chiron on the bottom said that they did not want to reveal their identity because they called in sick from work to attend the Taylor Swift concert. So they put a towel over their head to mask their identity. If you're going to have an affair at the Coldplay concert, wear a mask, perhaps.
That probably would have worked better. I love the sidekick friend, the female friend of the woman that was right in the shot.
Yes.
The look on her face, like the disbelief and the astonishment, like, oh my, there are going to be ramifications for this. Like the guy ducks, like he ducks for cover. The woman turns around and can't face the camera. So the only face you see is like, it looks like presumably a coworker of hers or something, a good friend of hers that knows the deal. And she's just, her jaw is dropped and she's like, the pic, a picture's worth 1,000 words. It just says it all, her words, her expression.
One texter says, imagine being this worried that your spouse just found out you're having an affair. Meanwhile, the real embarrassment is how the whole world now knows you went to a Coldplay concert.
Throwing shade at my guys? Coldplay? Come on.
Coldplay doesn't deserve that.
It's not their fault.
Chris Martin didn't know. Don't be rude. Speaking of rude, one texter says, Dave says, if you're going to impersonate Jared, just learn to talk out of your butt.
No. Oof.
Ouch.
Friday zingers are flying.
Yes. So, again, my piece of advice for all of you. Look, if you're out there and you've got a side piece, I'm not going to judge you. Maybe a little bit, but I'm not going to judge you. Just if you're going to go to the Coldplay concert with your side piece, just make sure you're not caught canoodling on the big screen.
Don't cuddle. How about that?
Yes.
Just don't cuddle, and then you won't get noticed.
Correct. Don't cuddle. To sports, Willie Donick. Lloyd Howell, the NFLPA executive director, has resigned. We've talked about this story over the past couple of weeks. Lloyd Howell has been, let's call him scandal-ridden, with a potential conflict of interest and this NFL-NFLPA collusion case that I guess wasn't collusion but actually was collusion. But you were adamant, as well as Derek, that somebody had to pay the price for this. And apparently Lloyd Howell took it upon himself to resign, knowing that he's been a big distraction over the past couple of weeks. But what's interesting about this, Willie, is when this story first came out about the collusion grievance, it was broken by Pablo Torre. He tag-teamed on the story, I believe, with Mike Florio. It didn't really generate a lot of interest.
No, and if it weren't for those guys, this wouldn't even be out there. This guy would still be running the Players Association.
But it picked up over the past couple of weeks with additional reporting from ESPN. And now it has
Don
led
Van Natta, I think, who is kind of an outsider a little bit. He's an older, old school journalist, for lack of a better term.
Yes. I'm a big fan of his work.
Yes, he's very good.
So ESPN did some additional reporting. There have been some other outlets that have done reporting on this. Lloyd Howell resigns as NFLPA executive director.
He resigns after getting the, quote, vote of confidence. Like, we are totally together on this. And then
that's never a good sign. The
right.
vote of confidence
but it was
is
like,
never a good sign.
But remember, it was sort of the contradictory vote of confidence. Like we steadfastly dispute all of this unrest, of these rumors of unrest. We're actually going to take a look at this. You know, they put it in the secondary statement. It was kind of like, we actually are looking in internally to make sure that our process is good. And then less than a week later, this guy's gone. But it's a sad reflection of the state of the NFLPA, I think. It should have the players looking themselves in the mirror and asking themselves, do I need to get in the game a little bit more here and get involved? It is easy. I admit, and I think in all walks of life we have this, right? We just want to go to work and have fun. Right? For most football players, you just want to go play. You don't want to worry about all this stuff. But it is a lesson in, if you pay no attention to who's leading you and it's somebody that's representing you, then you can get walked over. And I do think that, fortunately for the players, they got to this point. Now the question is, what do you do about it? Who's your next leader? And what type of person do you want in that seat? You want labor peace, but you also have to push back a little bit just to get what you deserve, right? You're not looking to overthrow the owners. You're not looking to create labor unrest, but you are the product, right? The players are the product. And so at the very least, have somebody that's in the trenches with you fighting for you and not in the hip pocket of the owners, which is what was happening here.
As part of his statement, Lloyd Howell said, quote, it's clear that my leadership has become a distraction to the important work the NFLPA advances every day. And Nate on our text line says, I like how he calls himself being a distraction. He's not a distraction. He's an idiot that didn't care about the players.
I don't know how he got there to begin with. I don't know how it was all right for him to not get vetted. And then the real question that we hit hard last week, which ended up being his downfall, is why on earth would the Players Association sign or somebody representing the Players Association sign a confidentiality agreement when there was hardcore evidence that the owners colluded against you. You would want that out everywhere and use it as a hammer for, if nothing else, not maybe not to turn everything around that day, but for leverage going forward. And they and he double-crossed him. He swept it under the rug. A lot of the players weren't even aware that this was going on until a couple of weeks ago. But this is I was listening to the MMQB podcast with Connor Orr and Albert Breer. Good conversation about this. They actually had a podcast episode before the verdict last night. They were just discussing it. And Albert Breer used good terminology. This is the tough part. And D-Mace was a player rep, so he knows this as well. The challenge for the NFL players, which is different than the baseball, the basketball, and even the hockey players. He called them the rank and file. There's a large cross-section every year of players that would be fortunate to make it in the league for 2 or 3 years. They're not going to get a second contract. There's a lot of them, right? We lament all the time about the draft picks for the Titans that never make it to the second contract. Right now, the Titans are in a huge drought in terms of the percentage of players that they're even giving a second contract to. So all of those players, why would they sit out a couple of weeks and miss some paychecks when they're only going to be in the league 2 or 3 years tops? Some of them not even that. So the labor long-term struggle, they're just not as invested in the fight as maybe a league where the contracts are guaranteed, where you're likely to play a little bit longer. The money you're going to make is a little bit more on the front end. So that's the challenge. But at the same time, the NFL is such a big, big thing that you would think if you could rally a group that big, you could make inroads there with stuff like guaranteed contracts.
One texter says, that's basically how all politicians get elected. Not enough people care or have actual knowledge of what's going on to make good decisions. The football PA is no different.
Well, that's why I think tactics like using the media to your advantage and exposing the owners when they are trying to pull a fast one like that, which they were, that's where you have to have shrewd leadership that knows how to play that game and not a guy that's like, ooh, this could create a little, some big wait. Roger Goodell might get mad if this gets out. Let's keep this under the rug. Let's not tell the guys that they were colluding. So he gone. Now the question is, who's the guy? Who steps up? Who wants that job? It's not an easy job.
Well, Howell was paid at least $3.6 million annually, so.
Yeah, and he was also getting $3 million from
lucrative job.
From this equity, or what do you call it, the fund, or whatever group he was with that's trying to buy into an ownership group.
So not only.
He was double dipping.
Did the NFL and NFLPA hide a bombshell arbitrator's ruling in a union grievance about collusion? This according to Front Office Sports. These are some of the other revelations about Lloyd Howell that have come out in recent weeks. He declined to leave his part-time role at private equity firm Carlyle, a potential conflict of interest as Carlyle is approved to buy stakes in NFL teams.
Yeah, he made $3 million plus from that group last year.
He was sued for sexual discrimination in 2011 while working as an executive at Booz Allen. And Booz Allen later paid a $377 million fine to the government for its conduct while Howell was its chief financial officer.
So there was
officer.
That. Yeah, that was shady as well. That was bad.
Yes.
It took a whistleblower. So, yeah, that's your leader. That was your leader.
Make good decisions, NFLPA.
Yeah. I can understand, too, like a player who's getting ready for training camp, the last thing he wants to sit there and do is like, hey, man, we got to find a new leader. We got to worry about the labor stuff. You don't want to do that. You're in your playbook. You're getting ready. You want to be in shape. But this is part of it.
615.
Need good leadership.
737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will take your thoughts on Coldplay concerts, collusion. We're off to a great start today.
Does anybody have an idea of what you could do at the Coldplay concert next week at the stadium to have a spoof on the meme?
Have a shirt that says, "This is my wife."
This is, like, you put "is" in capitals. This is my wife.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Our friends at the Nashville Scene, every year they have the You Are So Nashville If contest. It's one of my favorite things every year. The winners have been unveiled, and the winning entry has made me really sad about the state of the Tennessee Titans. And we will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Indianapolis. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. David James just entered the studio showing us a new Coldplay meme saying it could be worse with a picture of Bobby Petrino post-motorcycle accident. That is a good one.
One of the most iconic photos in SEC history.
I'm looking at it right now. Man, he really did a number on himself. He's got the neck brace on.
And he came back to Arkansas.
He did.
He came. They brought him back.
Who says
years later?
Who says you can't go home? Right, Bon Jovi.
And in between, he went to Western Kentucky. He is sitting right in the chair that you're sitting in right now, Adam, as he was unveiled as Western Kentucky's coach.
He was sitting in this chair.
That chair, not Derek Mason's chair. By the way, you stole D Mason's chair. I'm going to tell him.
I have been stealing Derek's chair this week. He's got the big cushy chair.
He's got a more comfortable chair.
I stole the chair.
But Bobby Petrino was sitting in that seat. And it felt just icky just to have him in the studio. Because it was post-motorcycle. It was the recommend. The guy still gets gigs. He still gets jobs. He went back to Arkansas.
Dustin Hopkinsville says, imagine you get caught having an affair at a Coldplay concert by the Kiss Cam and you don't even kiss.
Yeah, fair.
That's fair.
Was it the Kiss Cam?
I don't know if it was a
kiss
cam. Was
it an official kiss cam or was it just popping around?
I think it was just popping around.
Yeah. It is a question of what is worse, you know, with wrecking the motorcycle and with the girl or in front of nobody initially, right? And then the whole aftermath getting exposed or just having the one moment in the stadium where everybody sees you, pow.
There were some people who were trying to justify it by saying, I don't know if justify is the right word, but if they wouldn't have reacted that way, it wouldn't have gone viral. Well, somebody would have noticed if they had known these two people that they were with someone who wasn't their significant other. But anyway.
Somebody would have texted somebody, but it probably wouldn't have gone viral.
Probably not. So this, I think it was this week, our friends at the Nashville Scene unveiled their annual You Are So Nashville If contest winners. I love this.
What was the first year they did this? It's been well over 20.
I think it's been close to 40 years.
40 years, yeah.
I think it's been close to 40 years that the Scene has been doing this. So here are some of the best sports-related entries. You Are So Nashville If you were going for a Will Levis joke but just couldn't hit the target. You Are So Nashville If you think the Predators' off-season spending could have subsidized the transit plan. You Are So Nashville If Vanderbilt football being the highlight of the Nashville sports world last year tells you just how bad things got. But the winner of this year's You Are So Nashville If contest, submitted by Allison Damratowski, and Allison, if you're listening, I am so sorry if I butchered your last name. The winning submission was, You Are So Nashville If you're on track to have more football stadiums than Super Bowl appearances.
It does bring up the question, getting to and from the game this year at Nissan Stadium, and even the concert next week. I am curious.
But it got me thinking about...
There's a lot going on over there. I drive by it every day.
Yes, I as well.
There are some days you're like, is this street open today? I don't know.
We're going to try.
It did get me thinking about the sad state of the Tennessee Titans. And I heard Robbie and Joe talking about this yesterday. And Willie, you and I had a conversation earlier this week about rebuilds in the NHL and daily faceoffs data suggesting that the average rebuild takes 8.5 years. Now, the NFL is designed to rebuild quick, quickly, certainly more quickly than the NHL.
There's no guaranteed contracts.
There are no guaranteed contracts.
There's no stashing people in a farm system.
Right.
So it's hard to protect a deep, deep pool of players. And the, quite honestly, the depth pool is not nearly as deep. Right? There's just, it's hard to find players, really, when you get down to it.
Yes. But here is the question that Robbie and Joe asked, and I want to take a shot on answering this question as well. And I want all of you to as well at 615-737-1025. How much time are you willing to give the Titans to put a winning product on the field? Because it's been a sad state of affairs for the Tennessee Titans over the past couple of years. As we all know, things were going so well. They won, was it a Monday night game or a Thursday night game?
Thursday night.
In Green Bay. Things were going so well. The Tennessee Titans that season, after that win, were, let me pull it up right here, they were, what was their record?
7-3.
They were 7-3. They then lost 7 consecutive games, missing the playoffs in the final week of the season. And the Tennessee Titans, since that seven-game losing streak.
And also in context, for maybe people newer to town.
Yes.
They were 7-3 coming off 12-5 division winner, number one seed.
Yes.
11-5 division winner. 2019 wild card, but great run to the AFC championship game. So this was the window. This was the window.
Since that 7-game losing streak to end the 2022 season, the Tennessee Titans have won 9 games in 2.5 years. They are 9-32 over their past 41 games since that losing streak to end the 2022 season. Yes. That's enough Jared for today, David.
I'd have threw a few of those out there.
That's enough. We'll hear him on Monday when he comes back from his 14th vacation of the summer. But I hear you laughing back there, David.
It was so good. I just love it.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so that's the question I have for all of you. How much time are you willing to give the Titans to put a winning product on the field? I think the most common answer we will receive, Willie, is 2027, when the new stadium is scheduled to be opened. That you hope, that's the right year, right? I'm not mixing that up.
Yeah. It's going to take till 2027 with all likelihood. And that has been, I think that's a realistic target.
So I think that's going to be a popular answer, 2027, which means that we may have to sit through 2 more seasons of bad football. But how much time should we be willing to give the Titans, Willie, to put a winning product on the field? Because there hasn't been a winning product on the field over these past couple of years.
And it's interesting. You mentioned the rebuild in other sports, and we talked about the hockey, and it was a different definition than some would have of when you're in a rebuild. It almost counts years that you're not really in rebuild mode, but you're sliding down. And I think the Titans in 2022, sliding from 7-3 to 7-10, they certainly were not in rebuild mode. The next year at 6-11, they definitely were not in rebuild mode. They were trying to win, whether right or wrong, right? And this is what we're going to discuss, right? They were maybe in a little bit of denial. And then even last year, you could argue they were in denial of what they thought they can do. So even declaring that you're in a rebuild is something. We can look at the record and say, yeah, they've been rebuilding. They've been bad for 3 years. But that may not be, that was certainly not the mentality at the time. And in football, as we said, you can probably redo it quicker if you're lucky, if you're smart. Remember the Braves. Now, this Braves team is crumbling right now with injuries and things like that. They've hit the skids after a successful rebuild that took 4 years, right? They were the Braves that we all knew for a long, long time. They had a 4-year down cycle, and then they've been really good since then. It includes a World Series championship. That was a successful rebuild, but it took 4 years of being bad. The article we just chronicled with Daily Faceoff and NHL Rebuilds, they define their definition of rebuild can take 8.5 years on average. And even if being conservative, 5 to 6 years, that's a long time to wait. NFL, there's less patience. And Mike Vrabel used to say this all the time. It was a go-to line. You don't rebuild in the NFL. If you try to rebuild, you will get fired. And I do think that mentality exists in the league, which makes it tough.
One texter says, Jeremy in Clarksville says, y'all are worried about a winning team? How about we aim for watchable and go from there? That was Jeremy in Clarksville. Well, I would hope for watchable and winning football.
People are getting very snippy today.
Yes.
On the text line.
I know it's Friday, but come on, guys.
Very snippety.
Keep
up.
The toot down, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Lose the tootinal. Toot.
Very tootinal.
Lose the toot, guys. But that's the question I have for all of you at 615-737-1025. How much time are you willing to give the Titans to put a winning or respectable product on the field? Watchable, respectable, winning product on the field. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I found an article from 2021. So the references are outdated, but it still works today. The 7 phases of rebuilding in the NFL. And I want to go through these phases to see which one the Titans are in right now. 615-737-1025. Don't miss out on some of Nashville's best deals. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals now, and you can purchase half off on gift cards for Mellow Mushroom, Red Hot Chicken, Staley Chicago Italian Dining, Single Tree Barbecue, 312 Pizza, Bad Axe Throwing, Brewster's, Barrio Burrito Bar, and many more. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063 in the game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek will join Jake Lyman on Stillman & Company today from 3 to 6. Chase and Big Joe back from SEC Media Days, but they will be on one more time from noon to 3. We will not have Ask D-Mace today, but we will have Ask Us Anything. It'll be me and Willie, and there will be a prize associated with Ask Us Anything. So that will happen.
We're going to bribe you into asking us anything.
Yes, we will bribe you. I am not afraid to say it. We will bribe you. We will bribe you. I don't know why I did that. Are we live? Crap. Anyway, we will bribe you with a prize for Ask Us Anything. That's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. But talking about how much time are you willing to give the Titans to put a winning product on the field? And I stumbled across this story, Willie, written in 2021 by Mike Tenier in the New York Times. The 7 phases of rebuilding in the NFL. Again, it was written in 2021. The picture on the article is of Nick Foles in a Bears jersey. I have no recollection of Nick Foles playing for the Chicago Bears, but this tells you
it didn't go very well.
How long ago this story was written. But even 4 years later, a lot of the article remains valid today. So phase one of the 7 phases of rebuilding in the NFL, according to Mike Tenier, is denial. Quote, the first step is admitting that it's necessary. That can take several years because NFL franchises often kid themselves that the defense that led them to wild card glory in 2017 is still effective despite allowing 31 points per game, or that their legendary quarterback's shoulder doesn't creak like a rusty hinge when he attempts a screen pass. So are the Titans in denial? They have not come out and specifically said they are rebuilding. They are doing the draft, develop, and retain bit, which may be a workaround to actually saying the word rebuild. But do you think the Titans are currently in denial about rebuilding?
I don't, even though they have not, I think, done themselves a favor and declared it now. I think the denial was for sure last year. Last year was a full-on denial. The year before, at least you could say, you could reasonably argue that there might still be enough meat on the bone of Tannehill, Byard, and Henry for one more go to see if you could win a very weak division. I think you could probably make the case that that should have been the denial year. They were in denial and just didn't know it. But last year was a full-on denial.
So,
I think they're out of that.
I think they know.
They know what they have no choice now.
Right.
They have no choice.
Right.
They just finished 3-14. They're not. They're not in denial. They're not in denial anymore. They're in reality.
There are two things that are imperative to to rebuilding quickly in the NFL, neither of which the Tennessee Titans have been able to do, making prudent free agency moves and having productive drafts. The Titans have done neither of those things in recent years. We talked about this last week. Pro Football Focus put a number on how bad the Titans' first-round draft picks have been over the past 5 years, not including Cam Ward, because the exercise was done before this past draft. But you don't need a fancy algorithm to tell you how poorly the Titans have drafted, specifically in the first round, over the past 5 years. But Willie,
but it's the whole draft too. It's not just the first round,
right? But
unfortunately for them,
but on the picks that they absolutely needed to nail, they have not over the past several years. Again, excluding Cam Ward, because we don't know that yet. But the other thing is, again, the prudent free agency moves. And you have a passage from the FTN Football Almanac that puts that into perspective.
I do. So on the backdrop, and we will probably document it again next week, just how bad when you read through the names of the 20 through 22 drafts, which should be the core of your team now. For a team that is not rebuilding and trying to win, the players you draft three, four, five years before should be forming the core and the nucleus of your team. That's how you win in the NFL. It's not by free agency or trades. It's more than any other sport, the drafting and holding on to those players. In the 20 to 22 drafts, it wasn't just the first round picks who were horrendous, Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley, Treylon Burks, but all the way down the list, they got nothing. And that wasn't Rand Carthon's fault. So how do you, the only alternative was to try to make up for it in free agency. So here's the passage from FTN Football Almanac. To say, this is from Rivers McCown, wrote the essay on the team, but this really puts it in a good perspective here. To say that the 2024 Titans were not productive for the future of the franchise was an understatement. The free agent signings, Calvin Ridley, Legarius Sneed, who was a trade, right? But really it was you give up an asset, a third-round pick, to get a guy that you're going to pay big. Lloyd Cushenberry, Tyler Boyd, Tony Pollard, Chido Awuzie, and Kenneth Murray. Seven guys that they brought in, six free agents, and a trade in Sneed. One had a mostly effective year in Pollard. And that is even a stretch. Pollard gave you a little bit better than average production as a tailback. And that's a huge drop off from what you had before. Different type. Pollard's a solid pro. And he by far was the best. Calvin Ridley, maybe second among the group. But then we don't even need to go through all of them, right? But here's the thing. The free agent signings, as well as moving on from DeAndre Hopkins and Harold Landry, left the team with $36 million in dead cap space. And that was the cautionary tale. Because not only when you sign all those free agents, you have everybody, the narrative was what? Hey, they spent all that money in free agency, they should be competitive. And that's really, I was saying, that's not usually what happens in NFL free agency. And they got burned. So now the residual effect is you get a bill and it takes up more of your cap space, which I know Jared is still in denial that the cap is real, but that's $36 million you can't be spending elsewhere. And so we know about Sneed, right? We don't even know if and when he's going to play, and when he plays, is he going to even resemble the player that they thought they were trading for? Cushenberry, Achilles injury, I think, and he's 31? Or no, Cushenberry's not 31, I'm sorry. Cushenberry, though, when he plays, is still uncertain, right? They're preparing us for Corey Levin to be the starting center. And that's not a good sign for Cushenberry's recovery. It's going to probably take a good while for him to work his way back up to the player they thought they signed. And that's an if. It's not a given. And I like him. And then some of these guys aren't even on the team. Boyd is gone. Murray's gone. Woozie's gone. So there's three guys you got 1 year out of and one bad year. So that is all of that money you spent on free agency.
There's a line in there that was like, the Titans talk about Sneed more like an idea than a player or something like that?
Yes. They said the Titans have resorted to talking about Snead like he's an idea rather than a person. We're waiting for Legarius Snead to show us he's the player he's been. Yeah, that's the idea. So you spell it out. You have three players that are running up cap charges of $64.8 million this year, right? So Ridley entering to age 31, and he's not a great player. He's a decent player, but he's an expensive one. And then, of course, Snead and Cushenberry. That's what you have left. That's expensive. And you don't know what you're getting from any of those guys, really.
When you look at a team like the Washington Commanders, they did both of those things. They made prudent free agency moves, and they had a productive draft, namely finding the quarterback in Jaden Daniels. And let's be honest, it largely comes down to the quarterback. If Cam Ward is what the Titans think he is, then the Titans will have a winning slash respectable slash watchable product on the field sooner rather than later. It really hinges on the quarterback. But the Titans, over the past couple of years, they have not drafted well. They have not signed the right free agents. The personnel moves have been rough, to say the least. So that is a big reason why they are where they are. We will continue the seven phases of rebuilding in the NFL as documented by the New York Times. Coming up next, 615-737-1025.
This is like therapeutic. What phase are we in?
Yes.
Let's talk about the phases.
Exactly. How much time are you willing to give the Titans to put a winning or respectable or watchable product on the field? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.